The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing? What's happening, man?
Let's go, baby. NBA trade deadline day. Let's go. Blow up the world. Let's restart it all.
Wait, did something happen while I was asleep?
Something happened.
You know what sucks about this whole thing? I had already gone into old man fall asleep on the couch mode when this happened last night. We're obviously talking about Kevin Durant. If you were asleep last night, Kevin Durant got traded to the Suns, which we'll get into the details of here momentarily. But the ability to go race and make and get in a bet right as it was happening. Oh, is anybody asleep? No, I was asleep.
Yeah, I got one in, but it was one of those nights I was going to sleep, Gil, and I'm sure you have this moment often too where you're trying to fall asleep and your phone starts buzzing and you're like, who's calling me now? You know, whatever. Like, I can't handle. Look at the phone. I'm like, oh, it's not a call. It's like 17 people texting me.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay, this happened. And then it was dart to the sportsbook app, see if someone still had a bad number up.
Dark.
Someone did.
Someone did. Good.
Yeah.
Who did?
Suns plus 750 to win the West is what I was able to get.
Good on you. Before we get into this, on the show today, a cavalcade of guests. Keith Byers, former Philadelphia Eagles great. This is my way, Kelly, of sending an olive branch to all the Eagles fans and Eagles bettors out there who think I'm anti-Eagles. We're going to talk all Philadelphia Eagles with Keith Byers today. Byers, one of the greats for that franchise, doing everything as out of the backfield. And then as a tight end, by the way. But that really out of the backfield. The only man I ever saw crush Wilbur Marshall on a block, by the way, it should be pointed out. But we'll talk about the greatest Eagles teams of all time and how he feels about Super Bowl 57. JVT, oh, there's a fortuitous schedule right there. Mm-hmm. That we got JVT, our senior NBA analyst, talk about these trades. Crackman will check in from the other side of the country for a segment today. It's Thursday, after all. Mike Pritchard, talk Super Bowl 57. We haven't had a chance to get in with our co-host of VSiN's Pro Football Blitz, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And as if that weren't enough, Brent Musburger to talk about his interview with Billy Walters tonight and get his thoughts on Super Bowl 57. How are we going to fit in everything?
Stacked.
Man. So back to KD. Now, there were several trades in the NBA. And for, you know, a period of a few hours, the Lakers actually made a good trade. We'll get to that later. Kevin Durant, who had expressed this past offseason that the Suns would be the team that he would most like to go to, he gets his wish 7 months later. He and T.J. Warren, by the way, maybe a sneaky piece in this deal.
Yep.
Kevin Durant and T.J. Warren go from the Brooklyn Nets to the Phoenix Suns. And in return, the Nets get a 3-and-D special in Mikal Bridges and Cameron Johnson. There's a Cameron for you, Kelly. Jay Crowder, who probably will be moved, also in the deal. Four first-round picks. Count them. Four. 2023. That's this year. 2025. 2027. 2029. And then a 2028 pick swap as well. So there it is. And there's a reason, Kelly, that I asked Drew Dinsick, Dan Bespris, anybody, any NBA guest we've had this week. Let me just ask you a question. Who do you think is going to be in the Western Conference Championship?
Yeah.
Because it's bunched up. This is prior to this deal. And it's like, you know, the answers were kind of these lukewarm, I mean, I guess the Nuggets and the Grizzlies. I mean, I guess the Nuggets and the Clippers. That kind of response.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, it's still bunched up, but the Suns have gone to the front of the line. Plus 230. What was the number you got right before this, Kelly?
Plus 750.
Plus 230 to win the West? And really, besides the Boston Celtics, the short shot now to win the NBA championship. The second short shot at about 5-1-ish. Always shop around. But essentially, it's like a plus 250, 5-1 kind of thing, consensus. We're showing plus 230 over here at DraftKings for the Suns to win the West. And I guess the first question is that appropriate? My answer is absolutely it is. You, Kelly?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. However, are they a slam dunk to win the Western Conference?
Oh,
absolutely
no.
Not. It is still very, very open to me. Look, the one thing we always said from the beginning is if Kevin Durant got traded, what you were going to see is him go to a team that was going to have to give up the vast majority of their quality pieces on their team, right? So it is, look, the Suns got a great starting lineup. It's awesome. You got Ayton. You got Chris Paul. You got Devin Booker. And it gets really, really thin after that,
well,
right?
Not, I mean, not only does it get really thin, but this is the ultimate push all your chips in the middle of the table move because Chris Paul's going to be 38 in May. KD's going to be 35 before next season starts. So the window is very tight. But I get it. LeBron James is 38, great, but there's no other there's no other evidence to suggest that anyone besides LeBron can play that kind of way.
Right, it's the Tom Brady, same
it's the Tom Brady thing.
Yep,
exactly. So the window is tight, and the window starts immediately.
Immediately, because also the not only the age factors, Gil, the contract factors too, right? It becomes more difficult as these year if you get into year two, year three of Kevin Durant's contract, and you're talking max deals for him, Ayton, Booker, you've got to build around, becomes really difficult to fill a bench. So I do think that you are, you said it absolutely right. It starts, the Suns' title hopes start right now.
Right now.
And it's I think they need to do a couple more trades here this afternoon to even round out this roster a little bit more. You do have Cameron Payne, who has been out with injury. You do have Landry Shamet, who's been out with injury here recently. Those pieces will help. You've got Torrey Craig there. Dario Saric. It's just, it gets real thin. It gets real thin after that starting lineup.
Cam Johnson only played 17 games this year. Jay Crowder didn't at all. So, I mean, it's...
The Jay Crowder parts, you know, right? He sat out wanting a trade anyways. He didn't play an entire single game this year.
And the Nets will move him, I believe,
Yeah, the Nets will move him.
Now, we could not. We knew something could happen. We probably anticipated that it would all happen today before the trade deadline, which is 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. None of us would have expected it to happen after 10 p.m. Pacific, after 1 a.m. Eastern. And it did. And so beyond this, there's other betting implications. Which is, and this has to do with other moves that went around the league yesterday, but we talked about the Lakers move, most notably that Russell Westbrook involved in a Lakers deal as the Lakers successfully get rid of that contract. He ends up in Utah. Here's this deal. It's a three-way deal where the Lakers get D'Angelo Russell as the big piece in their deal, Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt. By the way, Malik Beasley talking to Scottie Pippen Jr.'s mom, which makes for an awkward situation. Jazz get Russell Westbrook, Damian Jones, Juan Toscano and Anderson, and a 2027 L.A. first-round draft pick. The T-Wolves get Mike Conley, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and then a slew of second-round picks. So here's the deal on this now. Because Westbrook goes to the Jazz, and by the way, that might change today too, but let's say it doesn't. That has impact on sixth man of the year, right? Because Russell Westbrook would not be a sixth man in Utah. So it opens the door further for other sixth men, in other words, to get that, meaning opening the door for the likes of a Jordan Poole if he gets there or anybody else who's up for that award.
Yeah. Brogdon has shifted to the favorite in that market.
And then as you pointed out yesterday off air, which is this really gets interesting for most improved player because you're taking out Mike Conley, you're inserting Russell Westbrook. Now you have a situation where is Lauri Markkanen's game going to get jacked up by this?
Yeah.
And so it makes for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be that much more likely to win that award. So there's not only is the Durant trade the more obvious betting implication one with the bigger markets, but that three-way deal has this weird effect on a couple awards markets perhaps.
And then also, let's stick in most improved. The one that's most shifted the most, and this is a little bit because of on-court performance and then trades, has been Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas in Brooklyn.
Right.
Right. Not Cam Johnson coming back, but the 40-point games we've seen Cam Thomas put up. Now you've traded away Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Julian Edlow over at DraftKings did a good job laying this out. He was 200-1 in this market 2 days ago, 14-1. Cam Thomas on the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, but this bucks what you and I have been saying all along about this award, which is you don't come from oblivion to win it.
I agree. Yes. And I still stand by that.
Right. It's why we say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is more likely to win this, not Lauri Markkanen. As great as Lauri Markkanen has been, it's usually a player, historically, who wins most improved player, who you know already and then goes from good to really great. And that would be more of a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander thing. But is the Cam Thomas. I have to stop every time I say Cam now.
Why didn't they just get Cameron Payne, too? You might as well just stacked up the Cams. Come on.
If Cameron Payne ever runs for an office, by the way, it's the campaign campaign.
I know, right?
That is a, like, would this Cam Thomas thing be so out of control amazing that all of that, what we've been talking about is, oh, historically they do this. Would all of that go out the window because nobody knows who this guy is? Yes. Ask your casual basketball friend and they're like, I don't know who that is. Yeah, he's scoring 40 plus a night now.
I mean, Gil, this is the way he gets home. If this term continues to get thrown around with him, Linsanity, which I've heard the comparison the past couple of games, is, you know, asking NBA experts, it's, when's the last time you remember seeing something like this in a 2-3 game span of someone essentially coming out of nowhere and dropping 40 plus? And it's, there's only one answer. It's Jeremy Lin. And yeah. So I don't know. If we're in that kind of situation, Gil, yeah, it could be.
By the way, I watched a short Jeremy Lin documentary that's out there. It really was one of the more incredible things that's ever happened in our lifetime.
Crazy, awesome while it was going on and just faded.
We forget how amazing it was.
It was, yeah.
Anyway, somehow we've gotten from the KD trade all the way to Linsanity. We got there. We'll say more about the Kevin Durant trade. And then tonight's a big night in the NFL. The awards are finally going to get announced. Finally, I shouldn't say it that way because baseball, they drag it out for months. We've got to talk about that as well. What are the final predictions on that? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander still to come on the show. Keith Byers, former Eagle great, talk Super Bowl 57 with us. JVT on the NBA. Is there anything to talk about in the NBA today? Crackman, Pritch, Jason Weingarten, Brent Musburger, all on the show today. Steve Fezzik on the show tomorrow, Kelly, talk Super Bowl 57 with us.
Yes, sir.
Excited about that as well. Okay, this puts the trade in, well, this puts all the NBA's Pacific division in context. Let's put it that way. This is from Nate Duncan, who had a great tweet this morning. He said, the Pacific division now includes LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Chris Paul. The Sacramento Kings lead the division. That's where we are currently as we approach the All-Star break in the NBA's Pacific Division. I just want to say something beyond the betting implications, which we got into last segment. Can we just step back for a second, Kelly, and think about, because I don't want to be, sometimes we're in the moment, and when things are in the moment, they become normalized. Let's just step back for a second. Can you believe this KD Kyrie thing that we've just been through? Is this the most ridiculous thing we've ever witnessed ever? This was supposed to be, the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be everything. By the way, with James Harden, too. They played 16 games together, the three of them.
James
16.
Harden, the under-the-radar smartest man alive.
Totally. James Harden deserves it. Say what you will about James Harden. By the way, he's in the rafters at strip clubs. That's what he's most known for. Let's get that straight. But they played 16 games together, and James Harden was like, oh, I'm getting the heck out of here. Get me out of here immediately.
I feel like that whole situation was like, it was like James being like, yo, KD, can you believe this guy over here? And KD's like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Best friend.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that's right.
I got to get out of here.
All right, I'm going to go.
Did you catch Kyrie even had comments after the game last night talking about his hope that Kevin Durant got out of that place.
Yes.
About how basically, you know, basically implying how toxic the Brooklyn Nets are.
Like you had nothing to do with the toxicity.
He had nothing to do with it. And then it's like, I don't know. I don't want to read into it too far, but just keep in mind he is a free agent as of right now this summer. And man, could we actually see those guys get back together?
They're both playing for their they're each playing for their fourth different team now.
Also got to keep in mind, if you want to play weird NBA conspiracy theory stuff out there.
And I know you do.
Did we just have a Suns sale to a new owner? Yep. Was it expedited? Yep. So he could get in place before this trade deadline? Yep. You've got like a 42-year-old billionaire who came in and said, I want Kevin Durant and I will pay anything it takes. Because, I mean, look, this deal was not being offered last summer. This deal was not being offered.
What did you – well, because a part of that was like, you know, KD was like, I want to go, oh, okay, now I'm fine staying here. I mean, what did you want to say about the Rudy Gobert trade?
Oh,
now?
My gosh. So this is the – if you're sitting at home thinking, look at everything you had to give up for Kevin Durant, just remember the Rudy – think back
the
to Rudy Gobert.
The Rudy Gobert trade was the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen.
Timberwolves send Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, who will basically all be playing some starting for the Lakers now. Number 22 pick, Walker Kessler, who is going to become the center that the Utah Jazz help build their new team around, and four first-round picks. Like, for a guy that's Rudy Gobert and not Kevin Durant.
And four first-round picks. That's really the key to
me.
And four first-round picks.
It's the same number of draft picks.
For Rudy Gobert, four? We said it at the time. This is not, like, retrospective now. KD, four. Okay, I get it. It's KD.
Yeah.
Because, again, the object is to win an NBA title. So I don't blame the Phoenix Suns. Like, I get it. Like, this is a big gamble.
Right.
But it is KD.
Totally.
So I get the gamble.
Totally.
You're all in. The window is tight, and the window begins now. Do you expect any other big trades? I mean, that obviously the trade deadline didn't go away with a whimper now.
I would expect this is going to be a very active next 5 hours. I think that you just started an arms race in the West.
An arms race, that's exactly right.
Where no matter what team you are in the Western Conference, if you have title hopes, you might not have been thinking about adding before, Gil, but you now need to start thinking about, how is my team going to match up against the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant?
And I think specifically the Nuggets are that team who has to be like, oh, that offense is going to kill us now.
Mm-hmm.
Booker, KD, those guys coming back once they're off their injuries, and Chris Paul, all of whom can isolate and score on their own.
Yep.
Ooh, that's kind of kryptonite to you guys.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely could be. And then I think you can look at the other side, right? The East. Is there a team or two out there that feels there's a void now in the East? Or are we all just waving the white flag to Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly?
I was just going to say, again, with apologies to the Sixers, isn't this the Celtics and the Bucks on a collision course?
I mean, I think so, yes. Like, regardless of what happened last night, those are still my two favorites to win the NBA Finals would be the Bucks and then the Celtics.
By the way, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, how are you feeling this morning?
I mean, gutted.
The players control this league.
Yeah.
They control this league. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me. There's nothing you can do about it. It's amazing. It's amazing the evolution of all of this in such a short period of time. These guys, like, what was it? I want to get the timeline on this, and then we'll move on to these NFL awards tonight.
Yeah.
But this is the whole trajectory of this from the beginning was July 2019, the Nets signed Kyrie. Same month, they acquire KD from the Warriors via sign and trade. January of 2021, so a year and a half later, they get James Harden from the Rockets. And then a year and a month later, they trade Harden to the Sixers. And then a year after that, they trade Kyrie to the Mavericks. And then yesterday, or today, I guess this morning, KD to the Suns.
I think one of my favorite tweets.
Done.
One of my favorite tweets I saw this morning was finally we can let Ben Simmons cook.
That's great. And they still have Ben Simmons after all of this.
I do think he's probably going to get traded today. I did see those reports floating on right before we got on the air.
That's awesome.
I think we talked about it a bit during the break. I do want to say this. The Lakers, they did get better yesterday, way better than I thought they were going to be able to. I loved the move they made with Westbrook and what they got back in return. But, oh, man,
then the Suns
just came in and mic dropped. Any chance you thought you had, see ya.
And any chance you thought you had was probably not accurate.
It was a long
to begin
shot
with.
Anyways. Yeah.
All right. NFL awards tonight, all of them. This is the NBA trade deadline has kind of taken away some of that gusto, but a lot of us have bets in a lot of these categories. And so, Kelly, I'm just going to give you who these are just my predictions, who I think is going to win, and we can come back tomorrow and see how wrong or right I was.
I've been hanging on to these finalist graphics, too. I'm so glad we get to use these again.
There you go. So there were five finalists for MVP. I think everybody thinks it's Patrick Mahomes, and I think everybody's right that it'll be Patrick Mahomes in that one. With apologies to Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, who all had great seasons, but Patrick Mahomes, the prohibitive favorite. Four, and you guys can just roll these through. I'll go by your direction, or I'll just lead it. Okay, cool. Coach of the Year. Daboll, Peterson, and Shanahan were your finalists. I have a feeling it's going to be Shanahan based on that thing that we talked about over a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, when they did that straw poll, and it was Sirianni first, Sirianni not a finalist,
yeah,
followed closely by Shanahan, and then Daboll and all the other guys were way behind. So I have a feeling it's Shanahan. Would I be surprised if it's Daboll? I wouldn't be, but that gives me the sneaking suspicion that it's Shanahan.
I don't even know why I care this much, but I'm going to lose my mind if Doug Peterson wins that award.
Okay.
Like Nick Sirianni, Daboll, Shanahan, they're all more deserving.
What's next? Again, these are just predictions. All of these announced tonight on NFL Network. Offensive Player of the Year, since Mahomes won MVP, I think it's Justin Jefferson.
Me too. You shocked, though, if it goes Mahomes MVP, Jalen Hurts Offensive Player of the Year?
I would be a little bit, yes.
Okay. I would say I'm surprised.
I would be.
Not shocked, though.
Yeah, surprised, not shocked. I'll go with that.
But Justin Jefferson had an incredible.
Defensive Player of the Year, it was Micah Parsons for most of the year, and I had a plus 650, and then it wasn't. It's going to be Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be Nick Bosa. Next.
This is the one, Chris Jones ending up in the final three looks better as the playoffs goes on, right?
Like yeah, but it's not a playoff.
Yeah, anyway.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, this is where I'm most invested. Brock Purdy is my ticket, and I believe Brock Purdy steals this. Over Garrett Wilson, over Kenneth Walker.
Too. And good for you, because I don't have any tickets left.
We'll see. A couple more of these. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sauce Gardner is going to win this over Aiden Hutchinson and Tariq Woolen. I think most people believe that. He's
got
the prohibitive favorite.
Though, right?
Yeah, but he'll win it.
Yeah.
And then Comeback Player of the Year. This is the one that's probably the most controversial. I still think it's Geno, man. I'm not invested in it. I still think it's Geno over the injury comebacks from both Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. Wouldn't be surprised if any one of them.
I think it is too, but yeah, I would not be surprised if it's any of those three.
Yeah. Did we get them all? I think we did. Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's tonight. We'll come back. Keith Byers, Eagles great, on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Do you have questions about betting on the Super Bowl, wondering about how to hedge, or maybe you're looking for unusual props or insights from one of our hosts? Well, the VSiN Big Game Help Desk is here for you. Submit your questions at VSiN.com/helpdesk, and it can be answered by our experts on air on VSiN.com. And again, a live look at our help desk. Kelly manning the phones with his visor on. What do we got back there, Kelly?
Yeah. I see why you would want to bet red Gatorade because the Chiefs are going to win, but it's a terrible Gatorade. Blue is the best taste of Gatorade. What are we talking about here? Yep. No problem. Call anytime.
Kelly's very rude to the people who call sometimes if he disagrees, but nonetheless, it's visa.com/helpdesk for all your questions.
Adam Burke, much more helpful than me.
Oh, it's not only you. He shipped with him. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. My pleasure to have our next guest. This is my olive branch to Eagles fans, everybody. He is one of the Eagles greats. When I was a kid rooting for the Skins, I had so much respect for this guy. Not only from his time in pro football, but iconic play at Ohio State where he ran to the house against Illinois with his shoe off. And not only involved in everything, rushing, receiving, and even sometimes passing with the Eagles in the late 80s and early 90s, but the iconic play I'll never forget is blocking Wilbur Marshall and putting him on his behind. It's Keith Byers, everybody. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing good. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Do you remember that block on Wilbur Marshall that I'm talking about?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I'm surprised to hear you say that. Because everybody always talks about my block on my good friend and brother, Kepper Johnson of the New York Giants. But I have more satisfaction out of the block on Wilbur Marshall than I do on Pepper.
Yeah, because Wilbur, does that never happen to Wilbur? That's what made that so amazing. Let me, before we get
that's
in.
That's a story into itself, but I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, would you like to tell that story? Or?
Well, just real quick. That was a revenge block. You know, we played, you know, being in the same division, you know, the NFC East, you played each other twice. In the season before, Washington beat us. And, you know, at the end of those games, in those days, you throw a Hail Mary pass, mm-hmm. you know, toward the end zone. And Randall threw a pass. It was in the vet. And I was just following the ball. And I'm like good 50 yards away from the ball, 40 yards away from the ball. And Wilbur comes up from behind and cold cocks me in the back of the head. And it's the last play of the game. And all I see is him running toward, it was in the vet. All I see is 58 running toward the visitor's locker room. I mean, I'm like, cool. I was livid. And I'm dizzy, and I'm hurting, and we lost. So I had to, you know, that was the second time we played Washington. We didn't play him in the playoffs. So I had to go the rest of the season. He got him. I can't wait to get him back. All off season, I can't wait to get him back. That's all I was thinking of. And so the game you're referencing, I think it was either week two or three of that season, and it was in the first quarter, and I was lined up out wide, and I was supposed to block the first fourth, which would be we ran a toss play toward me because I was lined up the wide receiver on this particular play. I'm supposed to block the corner or the safety, whichever one presses the line of scrimmage first. I blow my assignment on purpose because Wilbur's an outside linebacker. And I made a beeline on it. As soon as he turned, all he had was a face full of Keith Byers and his feet faced toward the RFK Stadium. And I said, he had to come out of the play game for the rest of the quarter and get himself together. Oh boy, and that was so gratifying. I was talking trash, you know, getting. Somebody came back in the game. I'm like, so how are we gonna do this? You want to play? Or you want to play? I mean, because you know, I don't even know why to this day, Wilbur Washer doesn't like me. I don't know why I don't like him. We've never seen any of each other socially. We've only seen each other with helmet and shoulder pads on.
A face.
And we always go at it.
A face full of Keith Byers. I was at RFK that day. Keith was right in front of me. It was just, I never forgot it. Let me ask, before we get to the Super Bowl 57, I mean, you were on some great Eagles teams, never got to the promised land, but they were, I mean, spectacular teams. If you could rank, and let's include this year's Eagles team, let's include the 2017 Eagles team that won the Super Bowl, and then some of the ones that you were on, notably 90, 91, maybe there's another one in there. How would you rank
88.
Them? Yeah, 88, exactly. How would you rank them?
Rank the teams that I played on as well as including these Eagles?
Yeah, if you just from your vantage point.
That's a tough question. I don't know if I could answer that one, but I'll try. I would say top to bottom, that 1991 team, that was probably the best Eagle team I played on, and we did not make the playoffs. You know, that year our defense went number one across the board in the major defensive categories, number one against the pass, number one against the run, and number one in total defense. We had five starting quarterbacks that year because Randall Cunningham got hurt the first game of the season. Then Jim McMahon went down, and then Pat Ryan, Brian Gable, and Jeff Kemp. We had five starting quarterbacks, and we go 10-6 and missed the playoffs by about the third or fourth tiebreaker that year. If Randall was healthy, we win the Super Bowl. You know, Washington won the Super Bowl that year with Mark Rippon and those guys. And I believe if Randall was healthy, we win the Super Bowl. So that would be probably that team. The 88 team, I think the Fog Bowl team was good enough to win the Super Bowl. Of course, the team, the Eagles, that won the Super Bowl in 2017. The 1980 Super Bowl Eagles that went there with Dick Vermeil.
Oh, that's true. Throw that in there as well. Team. That's right.
Yes, they were, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be remiss if I don't talk about Chuck Bednarik. He's probably
wow.
a great role. No, if I don't talk about the 1960 team. It's not Frank Gifford, also. There's some great Eagles teams in the history.
That's a great answer.
That's just me off the top of my head.
Yeah, you went further back than I did. And by the way, let me just say this before we move on to Super Bowl 57. That 1991 Eagles defense, to put it in historical context for folks, Football Outsiders, which we've talked about here numerous times, that say going back all the way to 1981, made that 1991 Skins team their greatest team of all time. The Eagles' defense is their greatest defense of all time, better than the 2002 Bucks, the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears. That's how good that defense was in 1991 through a lens of metrics.
No question.
Yeah. All right, Super Bowl.
Somebody asked me the question the other day. They said, what was the top three defenses you ever saw? Was it to be the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, and what was it, the third team? And no, they said and the Eagles. I said, well, I know two of those three are correct. I won't put the 2000 Ravens in there. You know, I said, you can't overlook the 86 New York Giants.
Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor.
That's right.
You know, I don't know how you don't mention any of those teams. They only played two defenses, and everybody knew what they were doing, yet you couldn't stop them. You couldn't score on them. LT, you know, defensive player of the year. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I understand.
Super Bowl champions at 86, of course, those Giants. Okay, so Keith, Super Bowl 57. The Eagles are favored by 2 points. How do you see this going?
Well, I've been thinking about it since almost 2 weeks now. I don't see, you know, I look at it from this way. If the Kansas City Chiefs play their best game of the season and the Eagles play their best game of the season, because it's a Super Bowl, you want teams firing on, you want them at peak performance. The Eagles win, you know, I think they would have it right. The Eagles win by, you know, probably a touchdown. I got more than two. I think the Eagles win by at least a touchdown. If both teams play well, I mean, it's a pretty clean game. The turnovers are, maybe one team, each team have a turnover. There's no, we're winning a turnover battle. I think the Eagles are good enough. I know the Eagles are good enough to win that game by seven. And that's what Pat Mahomes playing lights out. Kansas City defense playing well. Eagles are playing well on offense and defense, and it comes down to a one-score game. The Eagles are going to win that game. If Kansas City plays their best and the Eagles play, you know, subpar, let's say the Eagles give you a C-plus or B-minus performance, it's a coin toss game. And if Kansas City doesn't play their best football and the Eagles play their best football, we're talking three touchdowns. And it's going to come down to this also. I mean, Eagles take care of the football. And they don't turn the ball over, which, you know, that's been the key in the playoffs for them. It's going to, every possession is going to count. So Pat Mahomes will not get that many possessions on the field. So the best defense of Pat Mahomes is keep him on the bench. You know, the Eagles will have, you know, they're scoring touchdowns or field goals on 5 to 7 minute drives. That shortens the game. And now every time Kansas City goes out and goes three and out, and they put the Eagles offense back on the field, that's just like, you know, swing and a miss. There's more pressure on Kansas City to score every time they get on the field because they know their options are going to be limited. You know, the Eagles have 2,000-yard pass receivers, 1,000-yard rusher. They can hurt you in numerous ways. Pat Mahomes doesn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. You know, his biggest weapon is Travis Kelce. We can double-team him. Rush four and commit seven people to coverage and still get pressure,
Keith,
and get sacked.
I got to run, but they'll let you back in Philly now with that opinion. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you so much for coming on.
Eagles, my pleasure. Thanks, you guys. Have a great week.
Keith Byers, everybody, on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The big game is the perfect time for football fans to join the huddle with BetMGM. Sign up today and place a $10 wager on either team to win. Regardless of your wager's outcome, you'll receive $100 in bonus bets instantly. That's bonus bets instantly. Just use bonus code SB100 when you make your first bet. Get on the field and find out why nothing beats the big game at BetMGM. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code SB100 to win $100 in bonus bets regardless of the wager's outcome in the big game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Touchdown Jesus. Any chance Saquon Barkley's mom or Lawrence Taylor's handing out the Comeback Player of the Year award tonight? That is the joke that I always tell about how the MLB awards are so telegraphed. They're like, oh,
but who's giving it out?
And look, Bryce Harper's mom, Gertrude, I don't know if that's her name, is now handing out the award. This is from Vegas Valkyrie. You don't come from obscurity to win this thing. Hoping the same applies in the NFL to Offensive Rookie of the Year tonight. He's got Kenneth Walker as his bet. Jesse Welch, y'all are bearing the lead here. Obviously, the Nets have seen enough from Cam Thomas to anoint the Nets his team. There would have been a power struggle between Cam and KD. They had no choice. Jesse, I hope you're joking.
I think so. Yes.
I think he's joking. Let's see. Jim DeWitt, Kelly is now officially doing the Gill patented while the co-host guest is speaking. That's right. Remember that?
Is that a thing?
Remember that thing every time? I don't know. I got in like a mode where like the guest would say something and be like, mm-hmm. And it would sound like I'm just like dismissing it.
I actually really appreciate tweets like this
because
I don't notice you do that or myself do that, which probably means we both do it apparently.
I'm just going to do everything you said. I'm just going to be like, Over the levee, if I can't catch the Billy Walters interview live tonight, will it be posted on VSiN Best Bets? That I do not know. I just know that you should tune in tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, for the interview, Brent Musburger and Billy Walters. Brent will be on this show in about an hour to discuss it as well. 3Jack, H3131, Gil is a person currently holding a season ticket. Please tell me what Gino came back from. You know what bothers me more than anything? When people regurgitate my stuff back at me. I'm the one who always says he's come back from sucking. What I also say to people, though, who take Comeback Player of the Year literally, like you're like, oh, it says comeback, therefore it must be a comeback. That's not what the NFL does, people.
Yeah, I'm really glad this is getting announced tonight.
Yeah, it's a catch-all. It's a catch-all. So they haven't given it to someone who came back from your definition. Jason Weingarten's definition for comeback is Nick Gates should win it. By his definition, he's probably right. But that ain't what this is.
Yeah, I wish they'd change the definition, but yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God this is going to be over soon.
Thank
you. Because there's been too many tweets about, right? Like, we all want to argue about what that definition
is. Exactly. He said also Tomlin should get Coach of the Year because, you know, he's never had a losing season. Kelly's right about Blue Gatorade. That's right. All right, JVT joins us, everybody. We'll go on with more tweets in a bit. JVT joins us. What we would like to call fortuitous scheduling right before the NBA trade deadline. And, of course, the big one last night, which we've discussed earlier on the show, extensively, KD on his way to the Phoenix Suns. And I guess the first question, John, is an appropriate shift in the odds so that the Phoenix Suns are now the Western Conference short shot and only second behind the Celtics to win it all.
I think it's a little extreme. I got to be honest with you. Like, so look, Kevin Durant's awesome. And we just put up a piece up on the website, right, with some analysis on it. The hardcore basketball take here is that like the Suns like to run a whole bunch of Spain pick and rolls that involves three different players, and he'll fit really wonderfully in those sets when him and Devin Booker and Chris Paul will all run them together. And like offensively, I think it's going to be really nice fitting for them. I think where I'm talking about the movement in his extreme, Gil, it's like, okay, you tell me who their best bench player is, because if it's Campaign or Damian Lee or whoever, like it's one thing to have like maybe one guy coming off the bench, right? Maybe two, but you got to have something. And their bench is very thin at this point right now. So I think that is something that ultimately holds them back. And I think when you look at like the shape of the Western Conference, let's just assume, because I'm going to, that they, like a team like the Golden State Warriors are going to be fully healthy once we get into the postseason. Well, that's a team that has a bunch of stuff to throw at Phoenix that can match up relatively well, right? They can put Draymond Green on Kevin Durant. They can put Klay Thompson on a Devin Booker type. They'll be comfortable with Chris Paul on Steph Curry. They have these different options for them defensively that when they're fully healthy in a best of seven series, they can still match up pretty well with Phoenix. So well, Kevin Durant's awesome, and the Suns should be very good and comfortably into the postseason and very much a threat to win the NBA Finals in the Western Conference. To say that now a team that lacks the depth that they do is just behind the Boston Celtics, better than the Milwaukee Bucks, better than the Philadelphia 76ers, better than the Golden State Warriors at full strength, that's where I kind of tend to pump the brakes on this. I mean, even look at this, like plus 425 to 7-1 for the Bucks to win the NBA Finals. I don't think there's that gap between Phoenix and Milwaukee.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. That looks a little off to me. As much as what you're saying about the Warriors matching up with them makes me smile, because I love what you're saying there. Let's try to give the Suns some juice. What does that new look, understanding what you're saying about the bench, but you have a few, you have three guys on offense now when fully healthy, Booker, Paul, Durant, they all can create their own shots. What's the team? I said earlier that that might hurt the Nuggets more than anybody in a matchup. Is there a team that screws up most, do you think?
Oh, I think it's Denver and I think it's Memphis. Yeah. Right now, those two, I tweeted this out earlier today, but especially Denver. Denver should be on the phone with Brooklyn. They should be on the phone with Toronto. They desperately need a really good 3-and-D wing to come into that building. Because at this point right now, in that sort of a matchup, Aaron Gordon can physically match up with Kevin Durant, but the athleticism, the quickness, he's not going to be able to keep up with him. And then you have a Michael Porter Jr. who is a sieve on defense. Like when you look around at Denver, they have a lot of really good pieces, but from a defensive standpoint, they're not going to be able to match up, I think, with a team like Phoenix. And the same thing goes with Memphis. And on top of that, with Memphis, they're so inconsistent in terms of their shooting and their offense that now in that kind of a series, your whole thing is going to be, we've just got to grind the Phoenix Suns down and make this a really slow and low scoring type of an affair. And guess what? You're not going to do that to Phoenix given the personnel that they have. So I would say this hurts the two teams at the top the most, but I think it's Denver, and Denver should be on the phone with Brooklyn right now, trying to pry any one of those 3-and-D guys that they have on that roster at this moment.
I was going to say, besides that trade, what's the thing that stuck out most to you? But I guess it'll be part of that three-way deal that benefited the Lakers yesterday. Is that the other trade that sticks out to you as being impactful?
To an extent, yes, but I'll go to the other angle of this Phoenix trade. I think the Brooklyn Nets should be open for business. And I think that's the most intriguing part about all of this. You know, as I mentioned, their roster guild is loaded now with players who kind of have the same archetype that would be valuable to any one of these other contenders that is out there, right? So the price on an OG and an Obi might go up for the Toronto Raptors, but think about a Dorian Finney-Smith, a Cam Johnson, or a Mikal Bridges. If the Brooklyn Nets, you know, as I mentioned this with Kelly the other day, if they want to hit the big red button, which it seems like they want to now at this point, well, now you can really restock your cupboard with draft assets if you decide to ship all of these guys off. So I think, the Lakers and the three-way deal, super intriguing. The Lakers, I think, now are solidly a playoff team. I don't know if they can remake the gap, right, because there's a really big distance between them and the sixth seed. But they would be the favorite in a play-in situation if the Warriors aren't in those four teams. But I think what the ramifications are of this in terms of now some of these teams are on the phone going, I need to get one of those wing players that might be available here. I think that's the most intriguing part about this, because I don't think we're anywhere near done now that this thing is moved.
All right, real quick, an existential NBA question. And maybe you can't answer an existential NBA question real quick. But is all of this, you know, Kyrie and KD want to get together super team, and then within 3 years, they're both gone to different teams. Is all of this good for the league? Like, is this a net positive for the league, or is this a net negative? Does it make you like the NBA better or worse?
I think it kind of makes you like the NBA a little bit more. I'll tell you this. The NBA is stealing the headlines on Super Bowl week. And yeah. I think that that is something that they do not mind at all. And people might turn their nose up on it, but I think that they're pretty happy with garnering a lot of attention during the NFL's biggest week. Something the NFL regularly does, right? Steals attention from other leagues during their biggest week. But now the NBA has got their spotlight. So I think generally I like player movement. It's always interesting to see the way these teams are reconstructed. So for me as a hardcore guy, it's never really going to turn me away, but I would say the NBA would probably be happy about taking all the headlines here during this week.
No, that's for sure. I would just still like to see the most beautiful thing in sports just stay intact and beat everybody, but that's just me. All right. Anything tonight, NBA?
So tonight the Hawks matchup here later today with the Phoenix Suns. I bet this thing under 229.5. It's now 228.5. Just to play on the fact that Phoenix, we know what personnel is not going to be available, but they're a little bit more defensive oriented. They're going to be very poor offensively. Three of their top four scorers not on the floor tonight, but they should have a higher ceiling on defense. So I bet this thing under 229.5. Use 229 in the column. It's 228 everywhere. I still think that's playable under, but I figured Phoenix and Atlanta going under the total later tonight.
All right. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, our senior NBA analyst, also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, available at VSiN.com/podcast. And John, we'll talk to you Sunday on the run-up to the Super Bowl, yes?
Yes, very excited. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dude, thanks for doing it. Appreciate it. JVT, everybody, at me, JVT, with an interesting take on the Suns' movement in the betting markets.
Yeah, he and I will discuss more later today. Hardwood Handicappers will be doing an episode right after the trade deadline.
Trade deadline special.
Right.
As Flatter used to call them, pop-up podcasts. I love that. We'll come back. We'll check in with Bill Krakenberger, the crack man, Mike Pritchard on Super Bowl 57, Jason Weingarten as well, and Brent Musburger. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.